This episode is sponsored by FX's Shogun, available exclusively on Disney+. Shogun is an epic saga, powerful and engrossing, filled with romance, beauty, violence, and unexpected humor. Based on the critically acclaimed best-selling epic novel by James Clavell, Shogun is set in feudal Japan at the dawn of the Edo period in 1603. The tale charts the collision of two ambitious men from different worlds and a mysterious female samurai. But this is not your grandparents' samurai story. Shogun is an edgy modern drama full of epic twists and turns. Armies will converge, cannonballs will fly, and blood will spill. Don't miss this action-packed historical drama, FX's Shogun, a new original series now streaming exclusively on Disney+.
What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope? Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. We know what it's like. Because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe.
Grisendi!
We heard that their getaway driver was someone named Ross, I believe.
By
the way, Andy's I don't believe that Dorit ever goes into Marshalls, okay?
Dorit's so full of shit here, trying to say she was at a discount store and she was targeted by Ben, who followed her, and noticed that she said when we watched it back on video, because she's insinuating, again, that they have this all on video of somebody doing this, you know, because that's Dorit and PK's thing, to say on video.
Who is bringing $10,000 or cash into Marshalls and not keeping an eye on it? I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. Last season, when all this stuff with Dorit happened, it's like, okay, I'm not going to come for Dorit because who knows? That probably did really happen. That is happening in LA. Even though it was like her third one that this had kind of happened, it was still like, okay, let's have. But at this point, Dorit, the $10,000, that was a $10,000 cherry on top of the sundae. And I love that they didn't pussyfoot around it at this reunion and gave her shit for it because it's officially fucking ridiculous. And if the producers of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are going to call you out on it, you know it's ridiculous because they let their cast get away with everything on this show.
Yeah. But by the way, I still don't understand her story. So she said that she was going to do the Christmas bonuses. And she remembered seeing box cards.
I think
in
she
Marshall's.
Was saying.
What does that mean?
Well, I took it as her saying, I can't just hand them cash, but I remember seeing cards, like a box of cards at TJ Maxx, Marshall's. So I thought, oh, I'll put these in a card. So I went there to get the cards. So then I took the money in with me. I guess you don't leave 10 grand in your car, especially at Marshall's. But also, is there a Marshalls over there? Where was she? Isn't the only Marshalls? I'm trying to remember where the Marshalls is over there. Isn't that all the way in Burbank? She was not in Burbank.
Doesn't she live in Encino? I'm sure there's a Marshalls.
Encino. Is there a Marshalls at the Beverly Center? Where is there a Marshalls?
There's across from the Beverly Center at the Beverly Connection.
Right. Okay. So it was
Beverly Connection
there.
Has all of them.
Okay.
It has so TJ Maxx.
Yeah. I love that place. I'm always at the best. La Salsa. I'm at the Beverly Connection half my life.
Beverly Connection is really where it's all. But it has a very confusing parking lot. And God save you if you are behind someone who is confused. And that happens all the time. Because you have to go down. They have to go up. You have to
spin around. But their Ross is good. It's worth it.
They have a great Ross. Is good they have, it's they good. Have a Baja Fresh. It's really great.
The Baja Fresh. Yeah, not the La Salsa. You're right.
I knew what you meant. Yeah. But there was also, there's something else there that's really good. I don't remember. But they've got everything at Saks.
Not Jamba Juice. How is that place still alive? Ugh. Jamba Juice still.
Well, now they're Jamba. They're just Jamba.
Oh, wow. They
had a rebrand.
That's crazy. Yeah. So anyway, Dorit's story doesn't make a lot of sense. So she goes in there. Supposedly, she has video of these guys following her around. And she didn't notice that her expensive purse and $10,000 were gone until she got to the register. That's fishy as well, because you know it's a giant purse sitting right in the part of the shopping cart, you know, where you put babies. So anyway, fishy, right? So Andy's like, yeah, well, fans weren't the only ones questioning details. Garcelle made a snarky comment about your robbery being fake, you know, and everybody's so mad about it. So Garcelle's like, okay, well, I didn't say your robbery didn't happen, which you did kind of imply it. So whatever. And Dorit's like, well, to suggest that I went through a mother's worst nightmare. Your child becoming a musical theater person? No, the other one.
My child having to be subjected to Sutton's drunken rants, not saying she's an alcoholic.
So Garcelle's like, no, I didn't say it didn't happen. I mean, my take of it was that Garcelle was saying that the robbery was planned, you know?
So, yeah, that it was a fake robbery.
Right. Well, it was a real robbery, but the intention, but there was like PK was behind it because he was doing.
Oh, yeah. That's a theory scam. That PK really set it up to get the creditors off his ass or something, the Bellagio like or whoever. Yeah. And it just went bad or something.
Well, I believe you were robbed, but I just thought there were a few things that were a little off. That's all. That's what I'm saying. Just some strange things.
Like what?
She's like, well, you know, your ring was still there. She's
what? Let me tell you something. The children and I had just flown in from London, practicing getting cream pies in the face for a pantone. And 24 hours prior that happened, and the things that I had traveled with, including my rings, were not in the place that they are normally. They were in a Marshall cart that I had in the dining room.
Unfortunately, the rings I had in my suitcase were being carried by three men who targeted me in the living room, while the three men who targeted me for this robbery were in the bedroom. You see? Very different targeting of rooms.
You know,
different targeters and different rooms. You go to Target, too? Quiet, Andy.
You know, it is a funny story. When we did see those gentlemen stealing the $10,000 out of my Marshall's cart, I just begged them, please, when you leave, just leave the Cuisinart saucepan I had selected by the chili sign in the parking lot. And they did. They did.
we see. Okay, so then she's like, what else? What else? Now, I've dispelled that rumor handily, which, by the way, also sounds really fishy. So the burglars came. But the jewelry, like your wedding ring, where were they? Why would they be somewhere different? Were they in your luggage? Is that what you're saying? Why is your luggage not unpacked? And if it wasn't unpacked, then wouldn't they see it sitting there and go through your luggage? I don't understand. I don't understand any of this. It sounds sus.
Yeah. So Garcelle's like, she's like, you know,
you do know that I had a gun to my head and the guys were trying to kill me.
And she's like, okay, all right.
Let me finish, please.
Garcelle's like, no, I know the story.
Like, no. Allow me to finish so I can tell you why the robber would be so kind.
So she says the whole thing about how she pled that her, you know, can I just want to call my husband and everything? And Garcelle's kind of like, okay, like whatever, I give up. Just it's fine.
Right, because basically Dorit is pressuring her to keep saying why this robbery is fake, but nothing Dorit says is really making it sound not fake, honestly. I mean, I believed it the whole year, pretty much last year, but now I'm like, oh, these answers aren't great. And Dorit's saying, well, now the reason they were so kind to me is because I begged for my life. Well, killers and robbers don't really care normally. So I guess that's Garcelle's point. But like you said, Garcelle knows enough to know that this is not a good look to be questioning it. Even though I guess I just did. I don't really care.
You're like, I'll do it. Do it.
I mean, yeah. So I guess she can see that this is a no-win battle. And so she's like, well, I mean, I just don't think that would happen. I mean, it's rare, at least. I mean, am I wrong, anybody? And Erica's like,
but it's not impossible.
Of course. Of course, Erica's going to answer. She's been robbed 15 times for insurance, at least, at her house. Like, she was constantly being robbed over there. So, of course, Erica's going to be on the robbed side of this one.
Well, and also, their tracker's on phones, so maybe that's the other reason why they did it.
And Garcelle's like, sure.
It's just that Garcelle, you know what's crazy is that you go onto national television to peddle a false narrative.
And Garcelle's like, what national? You mean Bravo? Bravo?
Oh, I was come on network. This baby. Is just reality.
Some of us were on the WB.
I mean, some of us know Eddie Murphy, so
some of us are booking movie roles and winning awards.
So she goes, oh, on our show, I see. Okay, well, look, I have opinions, and I gave my opinion. I mean, sorry, it doesn't change your way, your world in any way. And Dorit's like, of course it does. This is a very, very strong thing to say. And you looking away like it's nothing says a lot about you, Garcelle. It says that she doesn't fucking believe your story. Now, is it shitty? Yes, actually. And when Garcelle was doing that on camera, I was like, oh, my God, that's pretty harsh to, like, insinuate that this is a fake robbery. But I also loved it because I love that Garcelle does not give a fuck what they're going to say about her. And she cannot be guilted. Dorit's like, how dare you? This is a lot. And Garcelle's like, okay, sorry. She goes, thank you. Thank you so much for your heartfelt apology, Garcelle. She's like,
That's all I wanted. So, it's all I wanted. So Andy's like, all right, I want to move on. You know, Sutton also caused quite a stir when she mentioned that she heard a rumor that PK had another woman in his car when he was pulled over for the DUI. Yeah, I'd like to hear, where did you hear about that, Sutton? She goes, well, and he's like, yeah, where did you hear that? He goes, the streets. The streets told me.
They're like, oh, God, what streets? Erica's like, the mean streets of Beverly Hills. She heard it on the blogs where everybody else heard it, because that's what was being reported at the time.
Yeah.
Social media.
I think we all know who was in the front seat of the car with PK.
Social.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Billy. They're like, will you do a breathalyzer, ma'am? Take my breath away. No. Into this.
Take my breathalyzer away.
Like, it's like, don't offer your breath to the police, Berlin. God damn it.
This turns out all these years the song's been about a field test. A breathalyzer test.
When she gets to that part of doing the alphabet backwards, that's my favorite. I love that. It's like the bridge. She's like,
makes
Z-Y-X-W-V-U.
Watching in slow motion as I drive my car into a stop sign.
Touch my nose and kick.
I was just walking my dog, Archie.
So literally nobody cares, because if PK wasn't in the car with that lady while he was getting his test, everyone knows PK's probably in the car with some lady all the time. Like, I don't think anybody would be shocked if PK was caught running around on Dorit. It's PK, for fuck's sake. If anybody was shocked, it would just be that he had the boner to do it.
Or the person with the low standards to be there in the car.
Or the person desperate enough to be in that car in the first place. You're right.
I mean, everyone has their own kink.
Yeah.
But PK is a...
pasty. There are people with a pasty kink out there.
Pasty, someone, you know, like my kink is a pasty man transitioning from diabetes number 2 to diabetes number 3.
I want a man that looks like overwatered dough. It happens.
It does. It's sticky. It's tacky. It's sticky happens. And tacky.
So then Sutton's like, okay, well, I did get a spanking for that. And she's like, well, who from? She's like, PK. He gave me a spanking. So then we see a PK tweet, and it says, Sutton struck. I've never ever once said one bad word about you. So why would you make up blatant lies to boost your career and then double down is why you're single. You ain't no Dorit, love. Excuse you? To boost your career and then double down is why you're single? This is why PK is gross. Never forget that PK is a fucking pig, okay?
Right. Yeah, never forget. Never forget.
Also, the only reason you're not single is because you were rich enough to bag a young idiot bikini designer while you were already married, you fucking pig. You're disgusting, PK.
Yeah, but you know what? He's also a visionary. Beverly Beach, babe. Beverly Beach.
Beverly Beach.
So she's like, you know, it's just really mean-spirited, ugly comments. ugly, ugly comments. And Andy's like, well, she said something about you in the similar vein that annoyed you. And Son's like, oh, yeah, well, I think the vodka and coffee thing was pretty mean-spirited, too. Yeah, yeah, don't forget that, Dorit.
Oh, well, all I said was I don't know if she's the type to drink coffee without vodka in it. Big deal.
She loves the flavor combination. Not saying she's an alcoholic.
So then PK was probably from in the car with some hoe, says, Dorit, you didn't get a prenup, did you? So would you even get anything out of a divorce? And she goes, excuse me, I met my husband when he was bankrupt.
Oh, morally bankrupt. So Andy's like, he's like, okay, so the answer is no, there's no prenup. And speaking of marital finances, Kyle, in Spain, you said you never read the paperwork that Mauricio gives you before you sign it. Do you know my friend Teresa Giudice? She went to jail. Denver, Connecticut.
So, and then married a guy without a prenup who's probably spent all of her money by now, by the way. So then Kyle's like, you know, like, I grew up with a mom that told me never to trust a man, you know, and to read everything, little thing. But, like, it's just so hard reading, you know. So, yeah, I just sign things that Mauricio tells me all the time. So I read a comment that I thought was really interesting. This is not my theory, but I like it. I think I'm going to adopt it. Which is that Kyle, one of the reasons for the marital strife might be some kind of a terrible business issue, because Mauricio's always, you know, he's gotten in trouble a couple of times with the real estate company. And Kyle is just trying to make it like public that I don't sign any, you know, I don't read anything that I sign, you know, which I thought was interesting.
So she's building her case of plausible deniability or whatever.
Right.
Like, I didn't even know.
Because what I read about Kyle was that she, and also, don't know if this is true, it's just something I read from Sechal, but I also read that Kyle was part owner of the agency, that it wasn't just Mauricio's company, that she's on that, the board or ownership or whatever, too. So it's not like she would really even need a prenup. So it's interesting that she's like, what? Paperwork?
That's an interesting theory. Well, if that happens, everyone bookmark this episode that we've done, episode number 45,000. And the time is 1 hour, 16 minutes in. And Ronnie, well, actually, someone else called it, but we'll say that you called it. You're going to co-sign it and you're going to give that conspiracy theory a platform right now. I think, you know, it could happen. Crazier things have happened.
You know, I don't co-sign it necessarily. I love the theory, and I would love if it were true, because you know what? But Kyle would probably even make that boring, honestly.
I know. The most boring Bravo fraud case.
It's like, finally, the audience is officially over people going to jail because Kyle made it boring, you know?
No, guys, okay, I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail, guys. Everyone's like, don't really care anymore.
Let's get let's cut to court and get Kyle's defense to the judge. Let's get this right now. And here we are.
You're mean.
The end. Okay. So then, let's see. So Erica's like, okay, well, listen, it's okay to trust your partner. And Andy's like, I don't think you should be the poster child for that statement. She goes,
okay, well, that's true. I'm not the poster child for any of this shit.
All right, well, moving on to your anniversary, Julia Roberts herself. Julia Roberts was on Watch What Happens Live. I just want everyone to know that I'm basically friends with Julia Roberts now, and the pretty woman herself. And she said, why are you making me watch this show? I don't understand it. I'm an actress. She threw a vase at my head. And then I said, please, you have to do this. You're trying to promote something. And she goes, fine, I am an actress. I can pretend like I watched the stupid shit you peddle on your quote-unquote network that's not really national. All right. And she said...
That's not really national. I love that Julia Roberts thinks it's just public access.
No, in my mind, Julia Roberts is like, what? What is this? What is this? Is what is public? This something? Did my brother start this show?
That was a funny clip, though, because he's like, so... What did you think when PK made a pretty woman scene for Dorit? And she's like, I just totally blocked that out until right now. It's like, really? And she goes, yeah. She's like, guess I have to think of that again.
Well, let's see. What did I think? I thought, well, here's a bastardization of one of my most famous and iconic moments. And I'm glad to watch two pieces of meatloaf recreate it with no sexual chemistry. So that was my first thought, I guess.
Yeah, and Julia's like, well, the only thing that would have made it work is if he actually gave her that necklace as a gift. Hold on, let me just laugh because it's my trademark. She just opens her mouth. Rainbows start to come out. Puppies just start flying out of her mouth. Her giant, listen, her gigantic mouth.
Listen, Andy, I'm just a girl sitting in front of a strange TV show host asking him to stop making me watch this show. That's it, Andy. Let me promote my disaster movie on Netflix and beyond with my life. Oh, jeez. Something fell over.
Yeah, my phone, because I was checking my phone.
Well, I did say disaster movie, and you're like, oh, no. And so, like, you were acting it out. You're like, I'm at the Julia Roberts disaster movie.
iPhones beating people on the head. So, Dewey goes, well, you understand. It was playing on the movie, right? And Andy's like, yeah, I get it. Jesus. I love that she says it's mirroring the movie. Yeah. I remember that part in Pretty Woman when Richard Gere hooks all that stuff up for Julia Roberts. And then Julia Roberts enters bitching about everything and like saying that she needs the proper, what was she asking for? The proper spray tan or the eyeshadow or something where she's like, where's my eyeliner, Peaky?
Beverly Beach bronzer. Yeah, my favorite part about about Pretty Woman was when Richard Gere was like, Vivian, I think I'm falling in love with you. And I want you to go to a polo match, even better. I want you to play a mermaid in a production of Peter Pan on ice in England where you sing My Heart Will Go On and someone puts a cream pie in your face. Are you down?
Yeah. So then PK traveling and not being present, like your marriage sucks too, Dorit. You know, like I'm sorry that this was supposed to be the season we all gave a shit about your terrible marriage and Kyle stole that from you. So would you like to talk about that? She's like, oh my God, after we wrapped, things got way worse for PK and I, mostly because we'd wrapped and TMZ caught it. And it was quite embarrassing. And I would like to apologize everybody out there for rapping. It was was not my best moment, but it's not every day you get robbed in a Marshalls. You know what I'm saying?
As I walk through the valley, as I walk in the shadows in the valley of Marshalls, I take a look at my cart and see there was nothing left.
Pass that clutch. Pass that clutch. Pass that clutch.
I'm Slim Dorit. Well, that's really all I got in that one.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, grown-ups, the Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast. And those plans are the opposite of quiet. Sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Wondery Kids Plus on Apple Podcasts today.
So basically she's saying it got really bad between them and he went to stay with Boy George for a while. And she's like, and we had two little children at home. And he's like, okay, so you were living separate lives. No, it wasn't separate lives. It was living in separate places. But, you know, all your belongings are still together. And Andy's like, okay, semantics. How dare you, Andy? How dare you? Words have weight. And Garcelle's like, oh, now words have weight, huh? Well, that's.
I just want to clarify. I just want to clarify. Yes, I was being a hypocrite. But I want to clarify that when PK was staying with Boy, it wasn't that we were separated. He was still living with me. He just happened to be chained to Boy's radiator for a few weeks. So that's why we were apart.
It was the first non-twink to ever be chained. The PK was so honored.
To be fair, Boy did not actually tie him to the radiator. PK did it as some sort of protest. Apparently, he insisted that
there'd be more bugles nearby. So I'm not boy leaving this apartment until you get me some
boy
bugles.
Told PK that the radiator was a box of Lays. PK seemed to have to it immediately.
It's, you know, like when you see the people from Harry Winston coming in with their suitcases handcuffed to their hands. That's just what PK was doing. He was trying to escort the radiator that he thought were potato chips.
So then he's like, okay, so your marriage sucks still. She goes, well, he quit drinking, Andy, which is, you know, helped everything, actually. Really? Because when Kyle quit drinking, you said it's because she's cheating on her husband. And now you're unironically mentioning that your husband quit drinking. I mean, she didn't say it was for Morgan, but she insinuated that she quit drinking for Morgan. So,
well, interesting. Once look again, that. Another blow to Leah McSweeney's lawsuit. Another person falls into sobriety on Bravo. God, the way this network pressures people. So, yeah, so they're better than ever. And, you know, it's just been a pivotal moment for them. And he's like, that's great. Well, he's like, well, you opened up to Kyle a few times about your problems in your marriage, but looking back, how did it make you feel that she didn't seem to trust you enough to share what she was going through? Andy, it hurts me, you know, like after the reunion, Kyle and I hadn't spoken for a good couple of months, and I was going through my own things with when preparing my next season's arc when I saw her Instagram, and well, there's no pictures of Mauricio. Mauricio's nowhere. No mo. How about that? Rapping.
Which actually, I'm going to write that down. That's a new rap tune.
Okay. Well, I knew something was going on. And I said, we have to pray. We have to pray just to make it today. Rap. Hashtag rap. I said, their marriage is too legit. Too legit to quit. Hey, hey.
So she's like, oh, I knew something was going on, but to not be told by Kyle, my friend, Kyle. And Kyle's like, well, I mean, like, I thought we were close enough that you could, like, just call me. And she's like, but I did. You ignored me, Kyle. Because Kyle's such an asshole. Kyle just totally dumped this girl. Now, listen.
Totally did.
Would I dump Dorit? Of course. Dorit's a twit, okay? But you can't expect somebody to just come on and kiss your ass for year after year and then just dump them. It's not cool, Kyle.
I think the running theme here is that people on this show do things and they expect there to be no consequences whatsoever. And there's always consequences.
Yeah. So Kyle, of course, turns it into guilting Dorit for not calling her, right? Which is saying, instead of waiting until there was some camera in my car, and she's like, well, Kyle, listen, you were trying to avoid me. And she's like, I wasn't trying to avoid you. I've just said, like, learn to exercise. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe I haven't been vocal enough, but I thought that the sound of my voicemail would be vocal enough. You know?
I like Kyle complaining about the insincerity of, like, you want to have a conversation. You wanted to wait until there was a camera in my face to have this conversation. And meanwhile, she's like trotting out all her daughters to sit on a sofa while she like displays their pain on national TV for us.
Do you see? Well, yeah. Also saying like, I wasn't trying to avoid you, you know, like maybe I haven't been vocal enough. I just haven't wanted to be friends with you. So you have been avoiding her until you guys got on camera. So what's the difference, you know? And so Dorit's like, I did try to call you. And she's saying, well, you know, but like when I'm struggling, I just like, I pull back, you know, I retreat. I just need to be alone. But that's the point. You weren't alone. You were on vacations with people that you were posting all over Instagram. So,
and Dorit's like, but you weren't completely by yourself. She says, well, because I mean, like, well, you were looking at my Instagram. See, I was struggling. I was struggling. And Dorit's like, no, but our husbands are very close. And I know, like, I know if you're going on trips or anything, I know what you're doing. And Kyle's like, so you're saying I wasn't struggling? You're saying I wasn't struggling? I'm saying, no, you weren't alone. She goes, no, well, when I say I'm like pulled back and I'm alone, it doesn't mean that like I'm sitting in the dark, you know, like I'm not blacked out in a black room. You know, I'm just like in a cell of some sort. It just means I'm just not putting myself out there with people. And I'm in, you know, like I'm just like alone, but like with people, but like alone, but with people. Basically, like She's just like saying, no, I receded from the world emotionally, but I was with other people, yada, yada, yada.
I was with better people than you. Like, listen, when I'm in trouble, when I'm having a depressing time, I want to be around less people. No, not less people. Less obnoxious people. And I want to be around more famous people that I'm kind of banging. That are having my own. Sorry, nothing personal. Okay.
Yeah. So Kyle's like, you know, and also like my entire adult life, I've been married and it's been like really, really difficult and like painful. And like, you know, like we were trying to like keep a brave face still for our kids at home. And like, I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to like talk about it. And like, I know I don't want to like feel like I should be in trouble for that. You know, I was like figuring it every day. I feel like I shouldn't be in trouble for it. Meanwhile, again, let's just bring back the footage of Kyle trying to make Denise feel shitty about whatever happened with Brandi Glanville.
Well, wait, what? How does that correlate?
Meaning that Kyle's like, I shouldn't have to feel like I'm in trouble for like making choices in my life when they made Denise feel like she was in trouble for the choices. Like, be open and honest. Why don't you be honest about it? Why don't you be honest, Kyle? Like, you're in the principal's office.
Confess. So Kyle's like, you know, I'm just saying, like, I needed time to be alone. She goes, but you weren't alone. You were with everybody. Here's an Instagram. Here's Kyle on a story I recorded on my... Yes! Having the time of my life! It's like water skiing. And here she is parachuting with Morgan on her back. Like, Kyle, get out of here. So she's like, but also, like, my whole life I've been married, and so, like, it's really hard figuring this out. And Andy's like, well, so do you and Kyle feel like you're better coming out of this reunion? And Kyle goes, I do. I mean, I definitely do. I definitely feel better. This was a lot better, right, Dree? And she's like, to be honest, I don't. We do have stuff to clear up for sure. But, you know, it's going to have to be an alone time where you and I talk. To my voicemail. No, Kyle, at a lunch. On my voicemail. No, Kyle.
Still in my voicemail. So Andy is like, all right, we're going to go take a break. The bullet points didn't happen, Dorit. The yawning did, though. And I'm just glad you said your piece, even though it was a very long-winded, occasionally rapping piece. All right, we'll be right back. So now they cut for break. And basically, well, we have a commercial break, I should say. I thought this was the part where Kathy was going to show up, but it's not. We're still far away. Andy's like, all right, we're back. So now it's time for an Erica segment where he's like, Erica gave up fighting for lead, but even with the new Vegas residency and lots of therapy, there were some grudges that she couldn't even give up on. So we see the whole Erica season of going at people, etc. And, you know, Erica saying how she put in work to change her body and herself and her body and her mind and, you know. Like, however, but if you fuck with her, she's going
to... I'm like, going to take you to hell with me, bitch! So he's like, wow, I have to say, Erica, good for you. Everybody loves a comeback. So congratulations on your redemption. Bet it all on Blonde. So Sutton, you made a crack about Erica's prices being $7. That was pretty shitty. And she's like, well, I was actually coming to her defense because... there was a guy who said, I think that her tickets are $1. And I said, wait, I heard that they're $7. I mean, that is 7 times 1, Andy. So it's much higher. And they're like, oh, Sutton, give me a fucking break. And Kyle's like, come on, Sutton, at least own it. Own it, Sutton. Come on, Sutton, own it.
Well, I mean, he asked the question. You know that's not what he means. And Sutton's like, well, I mean, do you have a sense of humor about you at all? I love Sutton being the one to ask that. Kyle's like, oh, my God. And he's like, okay, all right, well, you say you're joking, but then you're also like saying like I was defending, so which one is it?
They're like, just say you were making a joke. She's like, I was making a joke, okay, fine. So then, let's see. So, Erica, you announced you'd given up fighting for Lent, and you nearly made it through the whole 40 days. Oh, why did Denise, of all people, get a rise out of you? She's like, cause she asked for it, that dumb bitch, Andy. And she's like, she looked for it. She came knocking, knocking, knocking at my door, Andy.
And Dorit's like, yes, she was looking for it, and she didn't succeed, find success the first time. So she had to come back a second time. Yeah, she had to come back. So Sun's like, well, do you feel bad about it? Like a little bit for Denise, just a little bit.
And she's like, absolutely not. Denise asked for that. So then the next question is, Erica, you've been spotted out in Vegas with some old guy who looks like Rush Limbaugh. What's going on? Is that your sugar daddy? And then legal documents had revealed that he had allegedly sent you like $700,000. She goes,
oh, he's my private lawyer. He's my lawyer. That's my answer.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. Your lawyer paid you, because we all know lawyers love to pay people not received money. All right, great. So, by the way, I wonder, like, have you held on to any friends that you had when you were Mrs. Tom Gerard? Did you have friends during that time, by the way? Because I don't think we've actually seen you with any friends outside of the people that you pay.
And she's like, well, him. That's who. Rush. And he's like, well, that's interesting because there was a theory among viewers, and I think some of the group here, that you did not want to show empathy towards Tom's alleged victims because somehow it made you feel guilty. She's like, oh, you know, like, you know what it's like when you go through legal problems. I mean, look, everyone here knows what it's like when you know, your husband is accused of fucking over widows, orphans, and burn victims. Am I right? I mean, it's just a normal everyday thing, you know? And so, you know, they ask you to comment, not to comment either way. It's like, you know, when you push so many other times you can't respond in the way that others think you should, then it makes you look like you don't have empathy.
Oh, wow. Wow, that was a really long way around that. Yeah. One of the first scenes of the season is of you literally not understanding what empathy even means. Like, and that's not even an exaggeration.
What is empathy? So
she's like, Erica, it's when you put yourself in other people's shoes.
How do you do that?
Do I get to keep him?
How was the most, Eric? Do I get to keep him?
Do you still have the receipt for these shoes in case I want to take them back?
Yeah. So Andy's like, all right, but so I know that you met with a group of people who were all victims at the. Talk to me about the meeting and why you did it. Well, under the advice of counsel is why I went. And I spoke to these women and I thought it was important for that they saw me as a person and not through the lens of a reality television show. Okay, and can you explain why? I cannot. I cannot explain why I did.
I cannot. Why not?
I cannot.
He's like, did you learn things from them?
Yes, I did. One of them being that one of my paychecks was in a client trust fund.
What does that mean? Now, what does is she alleging?
That money that money that was supposed to go to her was put towards clients or something. I guess she's suggesting that there was obviously gross financial misconduct, but also implying that, like, look, everyone's accusing me of taking money from the victims, but some of my money actually went to the clients.
This victim stole from me.
You know, here's what I found out. Guess what I am? A victim of guess who? The victims, those motherfuckers.
I was victimized by not just one Marco, but two Marcos. Marco, Marco!
No polo in sight.
Andy's like, so wait, it was the opposite of what people are accusing him of? And she goes,
No, did I say that? Okay, listen, the trial's about to happen, and so I guess we'll have answers at the trial, which is, why did these burn victims victimize me? That's the real question, am I right? Can't wait to see that play out.
And Tom's been diagnosed with dementia, but he has been ruled competent to stand trial. And Crystal's like, I don't understand how that works. And Kyle's like, I don't understand it either, but I only read the headline. Maybe that's why. So Erica's like, well, I think that there's one thing that to be competent under the law. Like, can you aid in your own defense? And then can your medical diagnosis help out? Like, is it? I'm not sure. And Crystal's like, no, well, my dad had Alzheimer's, and so I work with the Alzheimer's Association, and the standard length of survival from diagnosis to end is 9 years. So at this rate, like, he should be pretty far along. And so for Tom to be able to stand trial right now seems strange to me. I mean, for me, I mean, when you see the footage of Tom Girardi these days, he definitely looks like he, you know, he's down a path. But I always thought it was strange that, like, the moment this scandal broke, it was like, oh, and by the way, he was just diagnosed with this condition. I thought the timing of that, like, was very bizarre to me.
Yeah, and he's faking it.
Convenient.
Yeah. He's fucking faking it. And also, he looks a certain way because he's old as hell. I mean, he's really, really old, and he's been taken away from every luxury, and he's got to have massive depression, and, like, all the shit's fallen. Then he completely fell from grace. So he's not looking great, but, yeah, this competency thing is
is a bunch of bullshit. Suddenly it's like, I'm incompetent. So yeah, that's pretty clearly fake. But here's the thing that I don't get. A, why is that Erica's fault? A lot of this stuff, you know, with Erica, the Marco thing especially, I'm like, burn her, get her alive. I'm like the town witch, you know? But with some of this stuff, it's like, I don't know about coming after Erica for his faking it. I don't know how that's Erica's fault. But then Erica just doesn't know how to take a win. Because really all Erica had to do in this situation is go, I don't know. I don't talk to Tom anymore. The end, you know? But instead she's like, well, I don't know what Crystal's saying. Is she saying that he's faking it? Because if she's saying that, she's just saying it. It's like, why are you defending Tom? Please stop. Yeah. Stop putting yourself in the position where it even seems like you're defending that fucking guy.
Yeah. I feel like if anything, that makes Erica look better to not defend Tom, right?
Exactly. So, she can't help it, you know? And so Crystal's like, well, I don't know if he's faking it, but we talked about it 4 years ago and he still seems to be kind of in the same place or whatever. So Andy's like, okay, well, we're going to take a little break. So then Garcelle turns to Crystal. She goes, oh, I know what you mean, because for the way he was, I mean, for 4 years later, for him to be competent, I mean, what's up with that? And they're like, well, someone's lying. And she goes, so it's her, right? Wait, who says it's her? Crystal or her? One of them goes, so it must be her.
Right. I don't remember who said which one, who said it must be her.
Yeah, one of them's like, someone's lying, so it's got to be her. So then Andy is like, so is Kathy making an entrance or are we starting with her? Like, does she have the same designer as Dorit tonight? I mean, Jesus Christ. How long do I have to wait today?
Everyone's like, Kathy? Wow. I'm like, well, so much for a surprise in the cast. So then we cut to Kathy arriving at the studios. And she's like, you know, I don't really like having bad energy with Chumbawamba. And I think it's like really healing for her. And like Mauricio, like, you know, Chumba and Mauricio were going in one way. And, you know, she's going another way. And they're just both trying to work. And, you know, he's dancing for 4 months on Dancing with the Stars. And I don't know. And Kyle doesn't. I don't know. She's not a compulsive person like that.
Yeah, she's like, she's not going to decide this right now. But, you know, she's just giving all the gossip from Kathy. Like, she doesn't give a shit. She's like, all right, just what do you want to know, everybody? So then we go back to the stage, and now is the magic mic moment. Dun, dun, dun. And so we see some Sutton stuff, like her bringing her ocean spray wherever she goes. And
commercials, here comes one right now.
So Andy's like, so a lot of people called out what they perceived as hypocrisy. Reality TV Universe said, no one's buying Sutton's prude act. She had dollar bills to give people. She's like, well, listen, you know, I didn't know it was going to be like that. And, you know, did I overreact? Of course I did. They were like, what were you mad at? Sutton? She goes, I did not like the simulation of cunnilingus. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah, but do you like it in real life? No, I'm just kidding. I just needed to know. But do you like it in real life? You don't like it. What's going on down there? And he's like, all right, well, leaving Las Vegas. Ha! That was a pun because of alcoholism. The elevator door opened and Sutton, you were convinced that the timing of the elevators was planned. How could you pull that off? And Sutton's like, well, I just don't know. I don't understand how witches do spells, but they do them anyway, okay? It just seemed suspect in that moment. And it was just this opportunity to humiliate me. And didn't she see what happened last night? I don't need anyone to humiliate me. I can do it for myself.
Now, I don't know how she pulled it off, but if I've ever known anybody who's going to pull things off, it's Erica.
I mean, I have to say, those elevator doors opened faster and wider than her legs. So it was, they might as well just start calling them Erica's instead of elevators.
First of all, I totally think Erica planned that. And I don't, of course, they can't control an elevator, but I think she said, you can come down now, we're going to the elevator. And then it happened to open on their floor. Or she was saying, we're going down now, we'll see, you can tell her off in the lobby. And they just got lucky and the doors open on that floor or whatever. But
maybe at the lobby. Maybe at the lobby.
Of course, I think Erica texted Mike and said, okay, we're leaving now. Let's
find a way to meet up. I mean, like that would take like a true, Like, you are some, you have magical powers if you can coordinate those elevators, because I swear to God, I had a button at a casino elevator and you're waiting 15 minutes before those doors open up. So, like, being able to time
Well, I just mean they could have tried it. I think they probably planned on meeting in the lobby or something. That's why they happen to all be going down at the same time.
Mike and the dancers were just going up and down that elevator for like 2 hours waiting, hitting every button and just waiting for them to finally be
at. I said, we're on our way there now, you know, and then they hit the button on Erica's floor or something.
So anyway,
it's not important enough to really care about, but yeah, I don't think it's like crazy for her to be like, oh, well, now I'm getting told off by a Magic Mike person. Thanks a lot, Erica.
No, but I'm just thinking, I think it just would be funny because I can imagine Mike being like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do today. We're here to save Erica. So what we're going to do is we're going to ride this elevator and we're going to ride it hard. Everyone push all the buttons all at once. And we are here until we humiliate that bitch.
Every time the elevator opens on every floor, they're like, I am disappointed in your reaction to Magic Mike. How dare you? This is a 5-year-old child. All right, let's try it again. Next floor.
You can't come in this elevator. It's being used in production.
Okay, so Erica's like, if I planned that elevator, I'd be a billionaire tonight.
Yeah. So,
are you kidding? You've all seen my timing on stage. Think I could plan a fucking elevator? Can barely do a sauté.
Dorit's like, Andy, it's impossible. So Kyle's like, I mean, you literally couldn't even plan that. So Andy's like, well, could it have all been avoided if you just come clean with the group that, like, hey, I'm just going through something. I was triggered by all this. And she goes, well, I think I did say that the next day, but I couldn't say what it was that I was going through.
So it was because the husband was moving to London and taking the child. And she's like, I want my whole marriage being dictated to. And he's like, but you're not married anymore. And she goes, yeah, but I was trained, Andy. I was trained. And they're like, wow, it was really difficult for Sutton. And she's like, and then I stood up for myself. And I said, I am not moving to London. James is not moving to London. I'm opening a store for 2 days a week for the rest of my month, at least.
And I'm going to bring stacks of dollar bills to random theaters in Las Vegas and with no intention of using them. And I'm going to hold on to them and then storm out of places because I'm an independent woman.
I have proven that I can still be furious about other people's simulated cunnilingus, and I will do what I want to.
Sutton was left, by the way, Sutton got off the hook in this part hugely. I mean, she came up with the whole story about, like, he was going to London and I was not going to go to London. We really got far away from the fact, like, you were jealous you did not get pulled up on stage, weren't you,
Sutton? Yes. Well, she's learned very quickly the housewives or reality show thing trope, which is where when you're really in trouble, I mean, we're seeing it right now in Vanderpump Rules with a guy, so it's not that it's only just girls, but like when you get in trouble, bring up your trauma. No one can fucking argue with you when you've got your trauma. Now, Sutton is reaching for hers. Okay. Hers seems a little bit more pat than most people's trauma, but she still has learned it, you know? And if it's like my horse hurt himself, she's going to fucking use it. And it does work. They leave her alone.
And actually, because then Andy gets distracted because he also falls for the bait. And he goes, you know, it's funny. Over the years with many women, the show has actually given them a voice that maybe they didn't have before. And some might say the true reality reckoning is the emotional epiphanies that Bravo causes our cast members to have. And their lives are richer for it. Thank you. Case dismissed.
That's Bravo helping women every second of the day. Thank you all for being here.
And I want to speak to that for a second because, Kyle, you really hurt my feelings. You said all I have is cashmere and a horse. And I have so much more than cashmere. I've got silk. I've got linens. I've got wools.
I've got Alfie. I mean, technically... You know, I've had him sign his life away. I mean, I basically own that person.
Jennifer Tilly, we've gone to Mood Fabrics and touched many things. And there's just Kyle's so much just more than
rolling passion. Your eyes. She goes, well, like you said, sometimes we say things just to make a little joke. Okay, so now it's okay, right? So Sutton's like, well, I'm telling you, it hurt my feelings, okay? And you also know that it's not true. I have more than cashmere. I have a store. I have a store that has been open Wednesdays and occasional Fridays
during the Beverly Hills season, and then it is used as a pop-up for Carvel ice cream the rest of the year. And that is a journey I am on. Also, coincidentally, my store has been turned into a Journeys outlet.
Kyle's basically like, look, okay, it's a reality show. We all say stuff, but, you know, like, what about the Uber driver? You don't want to talk about the Uber driver. And she's like, well, I'm not going to say that man's name on national television, Kyle. She's like, well, I don't really, like, I don't want you thinking about the intimacies of my marriage when I haven't even told my children yet. And stop asking everybody to ask you about it and stop bringing your fucking girlfriend on camera. You are so thirsty. I can't.
I mean, you took off your wedding ring and, like, we're...
Come on.
I mean, doing, I'm sorry,
romantic tattoo scenes with Morgan Wade and then being like, what are people coming at me for when I haven't even told my children?
And he's like, well, we also found out, son, that your monthly alimony is $300,000. And we see this being outed on Watch What Happens Live, and he reveals it, and there's like three people in the audience like clapping. It's like Avi and Jennifer Tilly and like some mod is clapping. It's like, yeah, well, some people applauded you, but others thought you were gloating. So, Anna Marie, you're still here. What do you think?
Oh, my God, fucking Anna Marie. She's like, well, as a doctor, you know, obviously.
Okay.
By the way, I'm surprised Anna Marie did not come for Crystal when Crystal was talking about, like, the timeline of Alzheimer's.
Oh, just, you're right. I wonder if they just cut that
out. Who's the doctor now?
Yeah.
Go on, Dr. Bean.
Yeah, this whole Anna Marie thing. She's like, well, I come from a world where you don't, like, brag about your wealth. Like, I'm, like, friends with extremely wealthy people, like, super famous. Okay, so you're from a world where you don't brag about your wealth. You just brag about knowing really wealthy people. And you brag about being famous enough to know really famous
people. Very Taylor Armstrong.
I know billionaires.
With a B.
Bill. You know.
Yeah. Also, this is the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They literally put price tags over their faces as they walk around. So can we all please get over someone gloating that they have money? That's what this show is about.
I didn't even pick up that Sutton was gloating. I thought the whole point of mentioning that she gets $300,000 a month was to say that for all her talk about she's doing things on her own, she's also getting $300,000 a month.
Right. So it was like they were kind of trying to put her in her place in a way. Yeah. So she's like, yeah, I'm from a world where you don't do that. So then Andy asked Kyle about her Amazon Live, because she's like, I mean, you said that after watching back episodes, you had to take a break from Sutton because you saw how she was talking about you. And Kyle's like, well, I mean, any chance she got an interview, she was like, this friendship is a farce. You know, like, I'm not doing that, Andy. I'm not doing it. And she's like, well, we did have an amazing Sutton's like, well, we had an amazing conversation before that weed dinner. And then you walked in and turned it all around on me. You know, it's like the second the cameras come on, you know, and I'm not a good friend to you now. Okay. Well, the cameras came on and you weren't a good friend to me, Kyle.
Well, like, how do you expect me to be a good friend to you when you were like treating me like that in my own home? In my own home, my kids are upstairs and you just kept talking to me, asking me if there was like a ring on my finger. It was like, if it was like bought by Mauricio, you know, huh? And I love when Kyle's all of a sudden pulling there were children upstairs at her weed dinner where, like, you know, it's a dinner party in the Real Housewives. There's going to be squabbling and fighting, you know?
I love that. Yeah, you're right. My children are upstairs while I'm having a party specifically geared towards getting fucked up.
I know. Faye Resnick is in the house, okay? And you're concerned about your children. So Sutton is like, well, I was telling you about Christian. And Kyle's like, well, because he cheated on me. It's always because he cheated on me. I never said that. That's exactly right. Garcelle said it because that was fine. Like, that was the conversation that you guys had. So now all of a sudden Kyle is offended by insinuations when before, like, insinuations are off the table.
Yeah.
Remember when we talked about that?
Yeah.
5 hours ago?
Yep. Oh, gosh. So They're squabbling over this stupid weed night thing. I'm still sticking by what I said. Kyle was trying to get everybody to ask her. The minute they asked her, she acted like the biggest victim ever. And I hope they stop falling into this trap of just, like, doing whatever storyline Kyle wants at Kyle's rate. because it's fucking obnoxious. So then Andy's like, okay, well, Sutton, it didn't go well. So what was going through your head in the kitchen that day? And Kyle's like, no, it started out fine. But then when we started to talk and she started that, like, name him, I was like, okay, well, she seemed a little off, right? So that's why I commented, because, like, I really didn't know. I mean, I don't want to say drunk. I wouldn't say that. But, you know, like, I mean, just not right, you know? And by right, I mean sober. So does that calling her drunk? I mean, I don't know.
So, I got lost. Name him. Okay. So he's like, well, even Teddy weighed in when she came to watch What Happens Live. Isn't that funny? I brought her back onto my show. So anyway, she comes out and you're drinking and we have Teddy be like, hi, I'm Teddy. Well, it's pretty rich coming from Sutton, who has vodka in her purse 24/7.
Which, wow, I'm so shocked vodka. That Teddy it's would show reasons. Up and do exactly what Kyle wants her to do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's a okay. Well, the lead singer of Berlin said, stop making fun of me. It all makes sense now why Teddy was supplying the Sutton drinks on Watch What Happens Live. Teddy is doing Kyle's dirty work. Hey, that's what Ronnie just said.
It's 100% her dirty work. Kyle's like, what? Like, nobody, what? Oh, what? That's crazy. Like, doing my dirty work. Like, listen, I mean, like, are there things I could have said? Like, there are things that I could have said about Sutton that I did not say. So how about that? Okay, because there's a lot worse than just being an alcoholic going on with Sutton, okay? I was like, see, this is what you do. She comes this on here and she's like, there's a way worse that Sutton's done, but I'm not going to say anything because I'm a good friend.
Well, I think that insinuating that I have a drinking problem and I'm an anorexic and that I've made up my foot problem and that I take pills, those are all bad. I never said those things. I didn't say any of those things, not a single one. And Erica's like, yeah, but you do take pills for your neuropathy. And Kyle's like, guys, did I say any of those things? We all know I had Anna Maria say it for me. Okay, I never said it, though.
And Erica's like, Sutton's like, okay, you insinuate. And she goes, I didn't insinuate anything. And she's like, well, it's understanding your responsibility in this insinuation, Kyle. You've got to understand this at some point, Kyle.
You have been relentlessly mean to me. Where? Not as good as name him, Kyle. Not as good as name him.
As
where,
Denise though? Would say, watch the show. Which I love that they finally cast. I don't think Sutton was right this whole reunion, but really for me, it's not about right and wrong. It's the fact that Dorit could end all of this by saying, that girl's gotten more press than a keypad. Just kidding. Had to get one more rap thing in there. But for me, is that they finally cast someone who doesn't give a fuck about what Kyle thinks and will go up against her. I love that Garcelle and Sutton do not give a fuck. Kyle has had this hold on people for seasons. I mean, there are people that don't give a fuck, but they get fired immediately, right? When they go up against Kyle. And these two aren't, and they don't care. Like, they're like, okay, you want us to bring up your stupid marriage thing? We'll bring it up. And then she's like, don't you feel guilty? And they're like, not really. Not really.
I agree. It's nice to have people who are willing to, like, push back at what Kyle says. But I want them to push back more effectively. And I'm like, you're on the right path. Now say everything that the two of us are saying to her. Please, thank you. You're doing a good job. Now see it through.
I think they don't really care about Kyle's storyline. And that's where they fell down. Because Kyle keeps trying to get them to care, and they just don't care. They're like, okay, you want us to make a comment about it? Okay, we're talking about the ring. Well, what do you mean? Why are you talking about the ring? Because it's a cheating ring. We were asking if it's a cheat. Well, what do you mean if it's a cheating ring?
Because the husband buys a gift when he cheats.
Well, what do you mean the husband? They're just, like, so bored with it, you know? Garcelle's like, everything that we're insinuating is so obvious, and you're such a bore that you can't even have this discussion without fake crying like a teenager, you know?
I think
that's where they fall.
I would love it if they could maybe bring Alexia on to the next part of the reunion so she could say, well, you're not wearing the ring. So, like, that means obviously there's issues at home. And, like, I'm sorry, that's just what it is. And if you say anything else, you're a liar. You're a liar. Okay? Because I'm a star. I know these things. I just want, like, someone from Miami to be on this show. We used to always say, God, imagine if someone from Real Housewives of New York was on this show. They would just call out this bullshit right away, which they still would do. But Miami now has taken up the mantle, maybe even New Jersey too, and Potomac. A lot of the shows, actually. But I would just love anyone to just come in and just really lay into Kyle. Because Because
I would like someone to bring the racket like Venus and Serena. All right, Doreen. All right. Please stop rapping. It's cringe now.
Just call me D dollar sign. Drop it like it's PK. Drop it like it's PK.
All right, well, next week we're going to come back and talk about Kyle and Morgan finally in the very last 30 seconds of the show. Andy, I'm not gay. I just want to boogie to some Marvin. All right.
Roll the clip. Roll the credits.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Stay tuned. We'll have Summer House up tomorrow. It's a good one. And then also, because you can never get enough Beverly Hills content, we are going to have a very fun recap of the Eric Bet It All on Blonde thing, which will be very hilarious to make fun of. So keep an eye and ear out for that on our Patreon, and we will talk to you. And remember, Miami is going to be on Monday, so that's where that is, if you're wondering. So we will catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.